So I asked at the beginning of this service, what is it required to have a good life? What does it take to have a good life? And so, let's see, we've got, Linda says job stability, and Linda says good health. Mike says you must have a personal relationship with Jesus, and Don says Jesus and a good wife. But okay, I'm not going to go there. let's see, and Shelly says to know God, a close family, friends, good food. Good food is a wonderful blessing to have. Susie says first you have to have the Lord, and Jane says Jesus, freedom, good pastors teaching the word. And let's see, Reed says over on YouTube, good friends and Magic the Gathering. Oh, Mom and Dad didn't let me play that game when I was a kid, so there we go, and they're watching right now. Peace of mind, Reed says, a peace of heart, yeah. And none of you guys really mentioned money, but you kind of, I mean, right, like, you got to have some amount of money, although Linda said a good job. So you have to have all of those things in order to have a good life. And in order to get most of those things, except for the spiritual ones that you guys threw in there, to get most of those things, you actually have to have goals, right? And once you achieve those goals, then they become achievements. And what's really cool about achievements, if you're anything like me, when I achieve things, that makes me more confident. The goals that I have in life get bigger and broader, and I am confident that I can go and pursue those things. And even when I fail pursuing those goals, I still, because I can look back at my achievements, know that I can still go after other bigger, better, cooler goals in my life. So why shouldn't we put our confidence in achievements? I mean, honestly, achievements are what help me to move forward. It's what gives me the confidence that I can do some of the home projects that I have around the house, which, by the way, I just finished one. It was a 10-minute job, and it took me about a 24-hour period to do. And there are no such things as 10-minute jobs. But all the previous achievements in home improvement projects that I can figure this out, and I know I can do that, I'm going to set this as a goal. And your goals grow larger and bigger, and because of your achievements. So if we want to experience the good life, you got to have goals. And in order to, I think, pursue your goals, you're going to have to look back at your achievements and all the things that made you you and give you confidence to say, yes, I can do this. Why shouldn't we put our confidence in our personal achievements, in our personal lives, in the things that we've done, the good things we've done, even the failures we've learned from? Why shouldn't we put our confidence in achievements? So we're continuing our journey through Paul's letter to the church at Philippi in Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. Let's read this whole section, chapter 3, 1 through 11. In addition, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. Hey, I'm going to pause right there. So some of your translations will just say brothers. And in Greek, the word is adelphois, and that's the plural. And contextually, it can mean just men or brothers, but Paul is writing to the entire church, so it is a correct and good translation to say brothers and sisters. He's talking to the entire church. And in past, we would say brothers because we all understood the brethren meant men and women, but we don't understand that anymore. So good modern translation, brothers and sisters. In addition, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. To write to you about this is no trouble for me, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for the dogs. Watch out for the evil workers. Watch out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision, the ones who worship by the Spirit of God, boast in Jesus Christ, and do not put confidence in the flesh. So what was happening is there was these itinerant preachers going around, and they would go to all these churches that Paul had planted, and then they basically came in and said, oh, you Gentiles who are not Jewish people, you have to follow the Jewish dietary laws if you really want to follow God. And you have to follow some of the cleanliness laws if you really want to follow God. Oh, and by the way, if you really want to follow God, you got to get circumcised. And it was working. These people would shadow Paul from church to church, and they were like, wow, I really want to be spiritual. I better do these things. and they would follow after them. And Paul says they're worthless. He calls them dogs, which in a Jewish context, for a Jewish person to say that is the absolute worst insult you can ever give. And he says, yeah, they're spiritual dogs, mutilators of the flesh. He says, we're the ones who are of the real circumcision because God said, we don't need a circumcision of the body in as much as we need a circumcision of the heart. Meaning we have to cut sin out of our hearts, out of our lives, out of our souls. And that can only happen through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And a physical alteration to the body won't change that. So he says, no, we are the circumcision, the ones who worship by the Spirit of God, boast in Christ Jesus, and do not put confidence in the flesh. So we don't put confidence in our own selves, in what we've done. Verse 4, although I have reason for confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he has grounds for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews. Regarding the law, a Pharisee. Regarding zeal, persecuting the church. Regarding the righteousness that is in the law, blameless. But everything that was a gain to me, I have considered to be a loss because of Christ. More than that, I also consider everything to be a loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Because of him, I have suffered the loss of all things and consider them as dung so that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own from the law, but one that is through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. My goal is to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being comforted to his death, assuming that I will somehow reach the resurrection from among the dead. So Paul, he says, look, I have every reason to have confidence in my achievements, in the flesh, right? He says, if you think you have confidence, I've got more. I'm a Jew among Jews. I am a Pharisee. I have studied everything. You think you're zealous for the Lord? I was out persecuting the church before I came to faith in Christ. You think you have a good resume? I've got a better one. And so Paul says, look, we shouldn't put confidence in our achievements. You shouldn't put confidence in your achievements so that our goal can be to know Christ. For Paul, the goal, he says, my whole life, everything I've ever accomplished up through the present time, it doesn't matter compared to knowing Christ. He says it's like dung. And it's basically, the word is scubala in Greek, and it's kind of a basic medical term for human excrement, for just like, oh, gross. It doesn't matter. You know, you're walking down the street and you see dog poop on the side of the road. You're not like, ooh, wait, we have to stop and look at it. Right? Nobody's doing that, right? It's just, like you try to not look at it. And if you're with kids, you're like, hey, walk over on this side of the road because they'll step in it. He says, that's what my accomplishments are compared to knowing Christ. So he says, I don't put any confidence in my past accomplishments so that my goal doesn't become new accomplishments to bolster me up, so that my goal instead becomes to know Jesus. And look what he says. What does it mean to know Jesus, verse 10, my goal is to know him. And what does it mean to know him? And the power of his resurrection. So to know Jesus is to know the power of his resurrection. The power that brought a dead man back to life, not only brought a dead man back to life, but resurrected him, reconstituted, glorified his body. He says, I want to know that power. And you know that power by knowing who Jesus is. And the fellowship of his suffering. We suffer if we follow Jesus. There is no resurrection without the cross. And if you are suffering, you're following in the footsteps of your master. Being conformed to his death, assuming that I will somehow reach the resurrection from among the dead. It's a good translation, but we say assuming, and sometimes when we use that phrase, we'll say, well, assuming that I can go to the beach tomorrow. That's not what it meant. He means I have the correct assumption that I will be resurrected from the dead. And so Paul says, don't put confidence in your past achievements. Because if you put confidence in your past achievements, then you can't make the goal of your life Jesus. It's kind of like this. Years ago, a number of our friends, we like to film goofy movies and everything, and we needed something that could hook up to the old computers back then. So we bought this, we all chipped in, we bought a camcorder, we shared it, we passed it around amongst ourselves, and we videotaped all these, and it was on video cassettes, all these wonderful goofy videos that my younger brother has somehow managed to preserve and put up on Facebook from time to time. Anyway, so we had this camera. I have no clue what happened to it to this day, but But at one point, the eject button wasn't working anymore, and so we couldn't get the cassettes out and film more videos. And so that was obviously becoming a big problem. So I said, you know what, I'll take it, and I'll take a look at it. How hard can it be? Now, I don't know anything about camcorders. I don't know anything about camera repair, especially back then. I think I was like 18. And so my dad had the right screwdrivers. I go in, and I open up a camcorder. Have you ever tried to open up a camcorder before? It's a little bit like an Indiana Jones trap. You're going in, you're like, oh, I'll just take this thing off here. So I unscrew the whole thing, and then all of a sudden, as I take the plate off, like 15 springs sprout at me. They like, brong, 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 like, oh man, oh no, I don't know what I'm doing. And I try to fix this thing. I don't know what I'm doing. I wrecked the whole thing. So eventually, I didn't even tell my friends. I went and I had to go and take it to a camcorder repair shop because they still had those back then. And I took it in, and the guy was looking at it, and he's like, what happened to this camera? And I'm like, I don't know. I was too embarrassed to tell him the truth. So I'm like, I don't know. I share it with other friends. It's just not working. So I had to pay more money than the camcorder was worth in order to get it fixed, in order to cover my tracks. I had to go to the expert in order to fix my problem. That's kind of what it is to make your goal pursuing Jesus. Because I think I know what it is to have a good life. You think you know what it is to have a good life. All the things you need to have in order to pursue the good life, to have a good life, to have a meaningful and fulfilling life. But really, at the end of the day, I don't know what I'm doing. You don't know what you're doing. It's like new parents, right? Like, you can read all the books in the world. You don't know what you're doing. You really don't know what you're doing. My life, in your life, we don't really know what we're doing. We think we know what pursuing a good life looks like. Oh, I got to get this money, or I got to get this right job, or I got to date this right person. I got to marry this kind of person here. I've got to volunteer in this way, but we don't. Even in the Christian life, we think, oh, I think I know what it means to have a good Christian life. I got to pray, and I've got to read my Bible, and I go to church. But you know what? Really, at the end of the day, I don't really know how to do those things, and you don't know how to do those things well. I am not the author of life. I'm not the expert on life. King Jesus is. He's the expert on life. He's the expert on death. He's the expert on resurrection. And so just like when we get in over our heads, which is more often than we care to admit, we've got to go and take that camcorder and bring it to the expert. And unlike me, we have to come clean and say, I messed up. I don't know what to do with this. So that's why Paul says, everything I've done up to this point doesn't matter compared to knowing Jesus Christ. Compared to knowing Jesus Christ. That's why Paul says we should put no confidence in our achievements so that our goal will be to know Jesus. I haven't shared my resume in a little while, so allow me to indulge myself for a second. You know, I don't have the most impressive life, but I think I have a fairly impressive life. At the age of 16, I wrote a novel. Can't get it anymore. It's like $700 on Amazon, so don't even try. I wrote a novel at 16. It was published a couple years later. I wrote a novel, a full-length actual novel. Shortly after that, I began working with my church's youth group. Shortly after that, I began working at my local pregnancy support center. A few years into that, they made me the director of a program over multiple counties in New York State, and it was incredible. I was here under 20 years old and directing programs through our local pregnancy care center. Not only that, before I was 20, I was leading our local campus crusade for Christ. And while I was there working at college, I had some success getting some stage plays produced some local, some not so local. After that, I moved and I went to California and I went full-time to seminary, which is a full-time job. And while I was doing full-time seminary, I was also working full-time as a youth pastor at a large church. And not only that, but while I was doing all of those things full-time, I managed to get my names in credits of not one, not two, but three films, one of which won an award at the 168 Film Festival Project. You know, as I've gone on and on, I have had my work published in over six books, in addition to Untold. I did manage to get my Master's of Divinity from the premier school, Talbot School of Theology at Biola University. Not only that, but I have had multiple audio dramas produced by outside companies. That got me the bug. I have produced and started a very successful show, The Untold Podcast, at untoldpodcast.com. We've produced over 100 episodes, over 50 hours of audio dramas that has garnered so much information, and no one has been able to match us. Not only that, but because of my work there, I work with an organization that that one of the founders of has worked with George R.R. Martin, the biggest name in the fantasy fiction right now, and we've been producing stuff from them. Not only that, but I have gone and been part of a global organization, Crosstalk Global, that has literally changed and transformed cultures and communities and countries all around the world. I don't have the most impressive resume, but I think it's pretty impressive. And you know what Paul says? He says, compared to knowing Jesus, it is like filth on the floor. Compared to knowing Jesus, it is like skipping over dog poop at the park. He says, Nathan, your achievements, they're there. But in comparison to knowing Jesus, and knowing Jesus means knowing his resurrection power. It means experiencing his resurrection power in this life and even more so in the life beyond. It doesn't matter. I count it as a loss. It's worthless. The most important goal you can have in your life, Nathan, the most important goal you guys can have in your life is to know Jesus. And so I know what a number of you are thinking. Why, you know, like, does that mean we have no goals in life anymore? Does that mean that we can't look back at our accomplishments and achievements? No, it means you put them in perspective. It means that you make Jesus your first priority, your first goal. And as you are pursuing him, the other goals, the other achievements will happen, but you have to keep it in perspective. And all of the great things that you've done, all of those amazing things, they count to almost nothing compared to knowing who Jesus Christ is, to pursuing him, to finding him in Scripture, to praying to him, to attending church, either online or in person, and be part of that community, to serve people who don't know God, to serve people who do know God, to share the love of Jesus in practical ways. All those other achievements that we have, they amount to nothing to actually know who Jesus is. At home, on Facebook and YouTube, what I want you to do is this. What are some of the goals you have in life? Now, this is not a trap. I'm not going to criticize any of your goals. So what are your silly goals too? Like, what are my goals? And it's not high on the list, but I would love to do it. I would love to build a Viking ship, a full-size Viking ship that I could sail around Lake Michigan. That would be fantastic. I don't know if it'll ever happen, but that's like one of those, you know, minor goals that I have in life that's kind of silly. So what are some of the goals, big goals, small goals, some the size of your head, that you have in life that you would like to, that you could share online. So go ahead and on YouTube and Facebook, share what some of those goals are. Paul says we should put no confidence, we shouldn't put our confidence in our achievements so that our goal will be to know Jesus. Give me a second here. All right, so here we are. Oh, there we go. So let's see, what are goals that you have in life? We've got Nate Shattuck says to rent out an IMAX theater and play video games on it. I love it. I think there would be a lot of pixelation though, wouldn't there? I love it. What else? Let's see, we got some Facebooks coming in. Nate Butler. So another Nate says, become an expert woodworker. Yeah, that's an amazing goal. I love that. And Linda says, go to Japan and visit all my friends. That's a beautiful goal to have. So more the reason to pray for the end of COVID-19, right? Mel says, run 10-minute miles in a 5K. Wow. Yeah. Hats off to you, sister. That's a good one to have. Reed says over on YouTube, to raise my daughter to know Jesus and to write another story good enough to be read on the Untold Podcast. Thanks, Reed. That's untoldpodcast.com. Capturing the culture's imagination through speculative fiction. Jane says, hi, Lila. Okay, that's probably not a goal, but we'll come back to some of these goals. Great goals, right? And some of you guys have larger goals too about your job and about your income and everything. Well, it's kind of like this. The vision Paul's giving us is, look, we have our goals in life, right? Like, let's say this is our goal. And what we do when we put our confidence in our achievements and pursue our own goals on our own terms, we stick them on top of the ladder, right? And then what we inevitably do is we take Jesus and we're like, yeah, and he's like, you know, he's down here on one of the lower rungs. And so what essentially happens is this starts to consume your life. Oh no, my precious diploma. Put something up there that doesn't matter as much. What happens is we begin to pursue the thing that doesn't matter as much as Jesus. And oftentimes, as we go up and up and up, we pass Jesus along the way, don't we? We've totally forgotten about him when we're all the way up here. So Paul, I think the image he's given us is, put your goals down here, put Christ up here. And when you put Christ up here, you will still pursue goals, but they're on a lower rung. And they're going to be more fulfilling. They're going to have a bigger impact in the world. They're going to have more influence in the world because you made Christ your goal first. And when you make Christ your goal, guess what? He's changing your plans. He's improving them. He's helping you along the way. Some goals he's going to take away and say, nope, you don't need to do that. Some goals he is going to just flat outright remove. Some he is going to shift. Others he's going to bless abundantly. And you're going to find that you have a good life. Yes, you're going to suffer like Jesus suffered. You will face rejection, sometimes isolation, sometimes danger. But it will be a life that has been transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is a life that will transform this world. It will be a life that transforms other lives around you. It will have reverberating actions into eternity. It will be a life that will show people the kingdom of God here on earth and remind them that King Jesus is coming again. It will be a life filled with transformation. So you and I should not put our confidence in our achievements, so that instead our goal can be Jesus Christ. We have lesser goals, for sure, but our big goal is to know Jesus Christ. And when we do that, things start to fall into place. He removes things he doesn't want us to have, which, by the way, one of my aspirations was to be a film writer. I wanted to be a screenwriter. He's shifted that. He's taken that away. And it took me a very long time for me to be okay with that. But at this point, I realize everything he's done for me is for my own good. And I'm happy in the life that he's given me. I'm joyous in the life he's given me. And in all my pursuits. And he has made the pursuits that I've had better. Right? So my book, you know, I wanted to be a famous author and people know me. It's not going to happen with this book. It's pretty bad. I wanted to be a famous author and I want people to know me and everything. But you know what? He shifted that. And now with this thing, and by the way, if Jesus takes it away at any point, it's okay. But now with this thing, you know what I do? I, as Reed said, I get to encourage others. I get to not just make it all about me and my own personal glory. Instead, I can promote other people and I can encourage other people and other authors and other listeners. It's not about me anymore. It's about serving the broader community. So Jesus takes our dreams and he shifts them and he changes them. And sometimes it hurts, but ultimately it's far better. You shouldn't put any confidence in your own achievements. You shouldn't put your confidence in your achievement. Don't find your confidence in your achievement. Find your confidence in Jesus Christ. Make your goal following Jesus and knowing him. There is absolutely nothing better in life than to know Jesus. Pursue Jesus. Don't try and fix the camcorder on your own. Let's pray. Father, I pray for this congregation right now. I pray that you will mold us and shape us and transform us and change us. Help us to follow Jesus more closely. Help us to make Jesus the pursuit of our life, not to abandon our other pursuits and goals and dreams and aspirations, but to make him first, to know him, to know his resurrection power, and yes, to walk with him in his suffering. Help us to be a people that transforms this world from the inside out. It's in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen.